But it's great to be back in Bethel after 2 years, actually. It's been 2 years ago that I was here in the assembly and spoke here, and we had some brothers learned that we were going to go hungry, so they invited us out for lunch at one of our favorite restaurants, East Indian restaurant. But I guess we'll have to just settle for what you guys have here today. So we're excited about that. So it's great to share with you a little bit about the Ministry of International Students, and then to speak from God's Word, and also to welcome my team here. My wife is here with me today. We traveled yesterday 13 hours from Vancouver to here. It's crazy. But I had a couple more people helping me because we're coming here not only for Bethel. We have a national conference starting this afternoon with our city directors all over Canada. And then our staff from all over Canada are coming together for Tuesday, starting at King's College, Tuesday till Saturday morning. We're welcoming our new president. Our board prayed for a year who that should be, and we're going to be welcoming him. He's originally from Africa, from Ghana, but lives in Montreal. And for most of us, it'll be the first time that we meet him. So God has blessed this ministry across this nation. I've been with it since 2001. I joined in the city of Kamloops, and it was there through the encouragement of Kamloops Gospel Chapel and other believers that I launched into this ministry by faith, not knowing where it was going to lead me. But God has blessed us in a great way. And many are coming to Christ from all over the world. We sang from every nation, every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. Well, you know, we used to have to think of how many countries we have to reach. But I just heard the latest statistics from UBC in Vancouver. It has the largest number of international students in all of North America at a single university, and they represent 149 nations. Can you believe that? 149 nations, even the Maldives. Most people don't even know where that is. And they're there at this university. You just have to go and find them. So I want to share just a few slides this morning, and then we're going to hear from a couple of our staff members who are here today with us, and should hear how they have been influenced by this ministry. So there are now 280,000 internationals studying in Canada, with another 137,000 in language schools. Many of those come for 6 months to a year. 52% in Vancouver, my city, 52% don't speak English as their first language. I'm surrounded in Port Coquitlam with Chinese and Iranians. My doctor's Chinese. My dentist is Chinese. I got him to support me while he was working on my teeth. That's how you raise your support. 45,000 international students study every year in Vancouver. And Government of Canada, of BC, wants to double that number in the next 4 years. They know the importance of international students. They need them to stay here, to join our workforce, so that we can have the people that are necessary. 70% of these students will never go to a church or a Canadian home in the 4 years that they're here. Why? I always tell them. I always tell you. Why? No one invited them. No one invited them. That's the only reason. Because everyone wants to experience some Canadian hospitality and some friendship, and also come to a church, especially if it's a special celebration and they know they're going to have food afterwards. That's right. They would really like to come and visit your church. So we started 3 years ago in Vancouver. When I came to Vancouver from Kamloops, I just did not know where to go, but God led us to Simon Fraser, and God has now blessed us with Steve Scott as the leader there. He's actually from Parkcrest Bible Chapel. His dad is one of the leading elders. He's an elder in that chapel. It's right next to SFU. And he married a girl from Australia that grew up on the ships, Logos and Doulos. And so they have now, he's commended, and he's full-time at SFU campus. Angus Chan and Daniel Kim, other workers on that campus. Next slide. In New West, Jabez, he just came up here yesterday with me as well. He works in the New West campus, and we have David Lamb campus with Lois Bromley, who is a retired person. She's well into her 60s, working there. Next slide. We have the University of BC, I just mentioned, with 55,000 plus students. 17% of that body is international students. The 2000 statistic from 12 years ago, only 7% went up from international students from 7% to 17%. This gives you the idea of how many internationals are flocking to our nation. Well, there's John Cutterford. God brought him along last year, 55 years old, or so, 57, with his wife who's from Malaysia. And he's a graduate of that school, and now he's working there full-time. And Yuri, you're going to hear more from her later. She's helping there as well. Next slide. Well, how do we do outreach at the university? We actually form a club, and we have tables that we can have to promote with Bibles and literature, DVDs and different languages. And we have a club that we call Focus, which means friends of overseas college university students. We're friends. We want to be part of their family. And so we have worship. We celebrate birthdays. We have Bible study. And there's always food. So we have different churches like Parkcrest and my church and others that make food for 60 people every week. We have Conversation English Club that helps people with their English. We have leadership training because we want these students to become leaders. They will become leaders, but we want them to become Christian leaders for God. And recently, a few weeks ago, Yuri and others came to Edmonton on an 11-day trip, taking 11 meetings, traveling 3,500 kilometers with these international students from seven nations. Two evenings were at the Capilano Assembly and at a Chinese Alliance Church in South Edmonton. We missed most of you there, but that team was trained to do music and do drama, to share their testimony for Christ. They grew. They learned to trust God for their needs, and they learned to work together. Friendship Partner is a great program that we have to help you to become friends with one of these students. They miss their families. They miss home. They're homesick when they first arrive, and they would love to be a friend with you. And you can be a friend. You don't have to speak Chinese. You can just be a friend. They want to learn English, so you can introduce them at Thanksgiving to your home for turkey dinner, or for Christmas. They miss their home terribly, especially if they're here at Christmas time or Chinese New Year. We do socials. That's a great time when we have fun, like hiking and ice skating and blueberry picking. We're going to be doing that in a couple of weeks. I guess you can't do those things in Edmonton, but you can come and join us in Vancouver, okay, area. And we do biking. I think you can do that here. Hiking in Sunshine Coast, barbecues, Minter Garden, so many socials that attract students because they're looking, they want to enjoy the nature of Canada. Next slide. When cultural events, that's Christmas, of course, and Canada Day. That is actually people up in that tree going to the top, singing Christmas tree. And Mooncake Festival, which is a Chinese autumn festival that we have. But the greatest thing is to see students become part of God's family, to baptize them and see them become part of the church and become involved in the church. In Awana programs or in camp ministries, we have some of these students that have been doing that in the last couple of years. We want them to experience the church, not just our ministry, so that they can go and experience the church back in their country. And we have to have partnerships. We can't just think 45,000 students in Vancouver. When my wife and I came there, there was only two people focused on international students, focused on them. Do you think two people can do the job? Of course not. Today we have nine people. Nine staff. We have about 15 churches now that are helping with Friendship Partner and volunteers like food providers, drivers, Friendship Partners, moving, airport pickup, practical helps. We need you to reach this. If we believe that every nation should be reached, and then you must become part of this. Of course, we need people who pray. And of course, the impact for God is that these students' lives are impacted, like Alan and Olga, who today, they found each other in our club. That happens too. We can't stop that from happening. In fact, I did the wedding for this couple that found each other there. But he was coming here for business, a degree from Guatemala, speaking Mandarin, Spanish, Cantonese, and English. But in that 4 years, he became our leader at the club, and he's changed his direction to focus on serving God full time. Today, he's a pastor in Calgary, working with the Chinese, and he takes teams to China, to mainland China. And Lalani's here today. Kevin, he's from Seattle. He just arrived at our place. He's staying at our place this weekend when we're gone. But he's serving God in Seattle with his church there. And his life was changed through the Focus Club. And there's Nat and Lada. So I got three testimonies today. Heather's going to come up. I found out they let women share here too. And come on, Heather. Come up. You talk about Lada. She's had a real impact on her life. And a couple of years ago, we went to her wedding.
Well, Lada was in my Bible study class at SFU. She was already a believer. I had a discipleship class for the students who were believers. And one day, Lada was in my class crying. And I thought, this is not normal. Lada was always happy, outgoing, and a real delight to be with. And so I said, Lada, what's the matter? And she said, I can't stand these studies anymore. She was studying business because her brothers graduated from Stanford, Harvard, and Cambridge in business. And so father expected youngest daughter will also be a businesswoman. And she said, but I hate business. And she had started a business in Kamloops. And though everybody liked her and it was a great place to go, financially it was a disaster. And she was paying for the business out of her pocket. And we said, no, you're not a businesswoman. So I asked her, what really is on your heart? And she said, my heart is education. I would like to start preschools and Christian daycare centers in Thailand. There are no Christian schools. And if we reach the children when they're young, God will change my country. And so we said, well, let's pray. God can change your father's mind. And she said, well, he's not a Christian. I said, that's irrelevant. And so we prayed. And about 3 months later, one day, her father called her and said, Lada, if you want to study education, you have my permission. You have 3 years to get all the education you want. Then you will come home and work in the family business, and you will get married. She finished early childhood education at Thompson Rivers, where we were, and did 2 master's degrees in those 3 years, one from Trinity and one from UBC, and went back and worked in her father's business. However, according to culture, when you're married, you are now under your husband, who was also a believer, had become a Christian in Canada. And so today she's working with children in the schools, and we can praise God for how he works, how he gives them a vision, and how he changes their lives.
One example of so many, the last couple of pictures is here we're at the airport with Mike, and Mike is right beside John on the right side, John Cutterford, the leader. And Mike was a Communist Party member from China, sent by textual engineering. You can tell I'm not into these subjects. And he was asked by his company to do a project for UBC. So he was supervising engineers to do a big project. He came left his wife and child home, and he was lonely. He wanted to learn English. He wanted to make friends. So he heard about this club that did hiking in the mountains, and they said, why don't you invite me next time? So he went on this hike or this social, and then he said, oh, they're a Christian club. They study the Bible, but I'm a Communist Party member. I shouldn't really be going there, but I want to learn English. I want to find out what this is about. So, and how can I really judge the Bible? I'm a scientist without actually reading it myself, so let me start with the New Testament. Read that 1 month, whole New Testament. Then he said, well, I've got to read the whole Old Testament too. So he went through from Genesis to the rest of the Old Testament. And then by that was the summertime into the fall, November, he went to a Christian testimony rally at a Chinese church, and he went forward to give his life to Jesus Christ. And he right away started giving his testimony. He said, I want to give my testimony here and there. And he was sharing his testimony in Chinese, translated into English in some places. And he says to the editor of the magazine in China that goes out to 2,000 architectural engineers, you want to know what happens to Chinese people and when they go to another country, to their experience? They say, of course we want to know. Okay. He says, here's my story. Please publish my story. They said, that your story, that's a Christian that is a testimony about God. You're a Communist Party member. You have to change your name. What's your new name? My new name is Moses. So Moses' story has gone out to 2,000 architectural engineers in China. Isn't that great? I could not do that. But God is doing that in wonderful ways. And there's so many other stories we can share. Next. And that's the testimony in China going out in this architectural magazine. If you can read Chinese, you can read that. But you don't have to. We translated it and put it into the New Testament. So here is the New Testament that just was published two or three weeks ago by the Bible Society. And Mike's story is in there, and it's in English, so you can read it. Where do you fit into the picture? Well, we got Lanny, Lelani here this morning. Come on up, Lelani. You'll find out how you can fit into the picture by interviewing a couple of students here today. Not students, former students. Lanny, tell us where you're from and where you first met me.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. I am delighted to be here this morning and to worship with you. My name is Leilani. I'm originally from the Philippines, and I met Bert, I think, back in 2004 or 2005 when I was in university. I was one of the student leaders. I was already a Christian at that time, but just attending the Focus Clubs every Friday night just helped me to grow in my faith and gave me the support that I need for university and after I graduated. So.
I'm glad I can interview Leilani this morning. She's a reporter for this, for the Living Light News, right? Yes. Living Light News. So she asked people questions. I'm asking her today. So Lelani, so why did you get involved with international students in Kamloops?
I got involved with international students because I saw how much it helped me when I was a student. I was looking for. Like, I immigrated from the Philippines, so, and I'm an introvert. I don't usually talk in front of a big group of people like now. I was looking for acceptance and friendship and all that kind of stuff, right? And they were there for me. And I knew that there are a lot of other students who are needing that. So I said, I want to be involved in this. I'm a Christian. I want to serve. And this is something that I can do.
Kamloops to Edmonton. Why would a Filipino ever do that? So give us the rest of the story and how you're involved with international students here in the city of Edmonton.
Okay. So I moved to Edmonton.
Because you like the weather, right?
I've been in Canada for 13 years and I'm still not used to the winter. When I was in university, I felt God calling me to become a journalist. And, of course, my mom, she was trying to look out for me, and she wanted me to become a nurse instead. She knew that I would have to contend with native English speakers when I graduate and, like, try to find a job, right? So, but God was very clear in telling me this is the path that you should go. And so I prayed about it, and God gave me a way to take journalism in university, and I told my mom. My mom is a believer as well, so I told my mom, this is really what I need to do. I need to follow God, and I didn't have a plan B. Yes, it's amazing how God worked things out, just remembering everything that happened. When I graduated, I graduated from university, this is all glory to God, top of my class. Because I felt like if this is what God wanted me to do, I want to be prepared for the work that He has for me. I graduated from university and promptly did not get any jobs. So I was thinking, like, Lord, what do you have for me? What now? I have a student loan to pay and I don't have a job. No one will hire me. I kept praying. And basically, I spent a year in Korea where I grew in my faith, came back, got a job at a community paper. And then after that, I knew that God wanted me to write a Christian publication. Bert came back from speaking at your church. He met Eli, who told him about an opening at Living Light News. And Bert told me about it. And yeah, like one thing after another, I got the job. I moved here. And that's an answer to a prayer that was, you know, started years before. God is faithful, and I'm here to testify that He is faithful, and He will, if He promises something, He will make it happen. And so now I work at a Christian publication. I tell people stories, how God has transformed their lives. And I also am an associate staff with International Student Ministries here in Edmonton. And basically what we do is we become friends and families of these students who come from other countries. And you have, like Bert said, you have an opportunity to minister to these students.
I don't think I have time to let them hear your testimony, but I'm just going to ask them to introduce yourselves. Okay, come on here. Come on here, right beside the mic.
And tell her how you got involved with international students and why you're working with international students. Okay. It's going to be an interview. Okay.
Okay. Hi, my name is Yuri. I'm from Korea. I came to Vancouver in 2003 with my younger brother. I was 18 and he was 15. And first time I came to Canada, I never been to church in my life. And then my dream was to learn English and get a good job when I come back to Korea, and then I would think that my life will be very happy ever. But God really changed my life upside down when he revealed himself to me about 5 years ago. And my dream was no more learning English and get a good job. But God did use my experience as an international student, and he really gave me heart to share my experience with international students. I think God sent me to share gospel with international students, not because I'm better than them, but because I am them. So, yeah, and also my experience with international students in ministry really blessed me a lot by being a witness of God's kingdom. And, yeah.
So what are you doing now?
I'm work as an intern with ISMC, and yeah, I graduated Trinity Western University last year. And I did my practicum for my school 2 years ago with ISMC, and I started as an intern from last October. Yep.
And you're enjoying it?
Oh yeah, I love it.
Okay, thank you.
Yuri has been used by God, and
she's living by faith too. When she first entered this ministry, her parents were, especially her father, was really totally opposed to it. She just came back from Korea 3 days ago just to be with her family and to help explain to her father that she loves him and that she really wants him to be accepting of what she's doing for God. But it's very hard because they're Buddhists, and so we can pray for her parents. But she's trusting God. She's working in a church in Vancouver with international students and with the program at UBC and SFU. She has a prayer letter on the table as well. I have a message from Nehemiah. And if you have God's word, I hope I can share for another 10 minutes or so this morning. Let's start late, I think. Nehemiah, I love this passage. And we're looking for Nehemiah finding God's direction. And I don't have to stand behind this mic, I don't think. The Nehemiah finding God's direction. And you know, the students that I work with, they're always looking for direction. Like we talked about Lada, her parents, the pressure. Some of the most wealthy people in Thailand running 3 jewelry stores, a jewelry factory, and a hotel. And Lada, all her brothers graduated from business schools, and the whole focus is how much money can I make? 2 internationals came to our club one day in Kamloops. They're from China. One student says, I've come from China, and I've come to Canada to get rich. The other student says, I've come from China too, but I've come to find God. Praise God. He's following Jesus today in Shanghai. He became leader of our club. And so, you know, they have tremendous pressures on by their family and expectations, which you can read about in that one book. And so here is Nehemiah. We all have challenges about finding God's direction. So Nehemiah is challenged in this area, and we're going to look at that for briefly this morning. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Helkiah, chapter 1, in the month of Kislev in the 20th year. And I was in the citadel of Shusha. Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some men, and I questioned them about the Jewish exile that survived the exile, the Jewish remnant. They survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burnt with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then he goes into his prayer. In my notes I have here, I say, in the church there's always a need for more workers. We need volunteers. In Sunday school, in Awana, in Alpha program, youth ministries. In missions, there's always a need for workers. So many needs, so few workers. I just came back from Belgium, where my wife and I used to work. And I used to work with Richard Haverkamp when he started his first assemblies in Antwerpen. And it's truly a mission field. still a great mission field. And there are so many towns and cities that have no workers at all. No evangelical presence. When I came to Vancouver, there were just two people working with Among Internationals. Now there are 11 of us and many volunteers, but still there are so few among the 45,000 international students in Vancouver. So how do we know and find God's direction? The example of Nehemiah will help us this morning. Jesus prayed, "May what you want to happen to be done here on earth as it is in heaven." Is this our prayer? Is this our prayer? It should be our prayer. God's will in heaven, he wants that will to happen on earth as well, but through us, through his instruments. And so we have four examples. One of them is creation. When God created the world, I always tell the international students that God created the world, and he had a plan for the world. He made the world beautiful. The heavens declared the glory of God, and the skies proclaimed the works of his hands, Psalm 19. And so we share that with you know, that there's so much beauty that we can show them that it's from God. God made it for us to enjoy. Salvation. We talked about salvation this morning in the breaking of bread. God's salvation through Jesus was to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 10. And so there is God's plan with salvation to bring us to himself. And so then let's go over to Bert. This is Bert. God had a plan for me when he took me to Belgium and to India and to Kamloops and to Vancouver. He had a plan. Sometimes we don't always see the plan right away. But these students, when they come here, God has a plan for them to come here. Not so that they would go back 4 years later and said, "I've never been to a church," or "I've never been to a Christian home." That's an indictment on the church, because somehow here the mission field has come to us. And well, we don't even have to go there, and we don't even have to speak their language. So God has a plan for these people, and he brings them to this country. I tell them that, so that they can meet us. One day we had a bunch of scholars from China, and the only reason they came was to improve their English so they could teach English in China, because the Chinese government wants everyone to learn English. And so they were coming to Kamloops, and they had never heard of Genesis 1, and they never heard of Noah and his ark, and they never heard of the Tower of Babel, but we got to the Tower of Babel and the languages. And I said, "Why do you think this happened?" And one Chinese student said, "I know why this happened, so that God could send us from China to Canada to learn English and to know more about God." Wow, that was great. That was a wonderful answer. We all laughed, but it was exciting to hear that she got it. God had a plan for her to come to Canada. And we've been back to China to follow up on these people because they were introduced to God here in Canada. So God has a plan for you too. Even this morning, he's a plan, not just so you would be entertained, not so that you would just enjoy a nice service, but that you would be changed. You would be changed. We have enough knowledge about the Bible. We don't need more knowledge in some ways. We need to act on the knowledge that we have and apply it. So God has a plan for you to extend his kingdom. I had no knowledge. I had no idea that all these people were coming to Kamloops when I first started this ministry. Someone had to open my eyes. And so these are the five steps in knowing this and finding direction as Nehemiah found direction that day. The first one is knowing the situation. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Know the situation. Now with instant communication from around the world, we know what happened. The very moment it happened in Calgary, we know what happened in Calgary. And my daughter works full-time in a church in South Calgary. What do you think she's doing? Some people in her church. They're helping the people in High River. Because there's a tragedy. There's a crisis. And so that's the opening of the doors for us to minister in the name of Jesus. So now we don't have to wait. This news that Nehemiah got probably was weeks and months old, because people had to come by donkey and horse and whatever way. But there was still no instant communication at that time. But when he heard these things, he said, "I sat down and wept." He knew the situation because he asked questions. He asked questions. One day I was sharing an operation mobilization to a group of young people in Red Deer, Alberta. And I was sharing about the needs of Europe and the needs of Belgium and the needs of France. And one young man said, "I want to know what the toughest country in Europe is." I said, "The toughest country to go to is Turkey. If you go there for the summer, it's not guaranteed, by 50% chance you'll spend part of your summer in prison." He said, "That's where I'm going." That's where I'm going. He heard the challenge of Turkey, and God touched him, saying, "What's the toughest country?" I don't get that response very often. That question. So ask questions. And when I first heard, I did not know that here I had been all over the world, but I did not know that the internationals were flooding into my city. And most people didn't know in Kamloops. But God used me now, and now the work is continuing. Many people are involved in the city of Kamloops. There are three kinds of people in the church. Those who watch things happen, we call them spectators. Most Christians fit into this category. Then there are those who make things happen. Nehemiah was one of those. Few people are in that category. And then there's the third kind, the rest of the people who don't know what's happening. That's the three kinds of people. Which category do you belong to? Then, of course, Jesus would say, like Nehemiah, what happened to Nehemiah, open your eyes, John 4:25. Open your eyes. Look with the eyes of Jesus. Feel with the heart of Jesus. Touch with the hands of Jesus. And that's prayer for you this morning as you hear this message. Open your eyes. Jesus had to say that to the disciples when he was talking to that woman from Samaria, and they were not thinking about opening their eyes. They were opening their stomachs, and they wanted some food. And they went to buy food, and Jesus was spending all this time with this woman. And Jesus said, open your eyes. Open your eyes. A little fellow of a poor family in the slum sections of our large city was encouraged to attend a mission Sunday school. As a result of his teacher's faithful work, he became a Christian. He seemed very bright and settled to his new faith and life. But someone in a thoughtless move tried to shake his simple faith in God by asking him, if God loves you, why doesn't he take better care of you? Why doesn't he tell someone to send you warm shoes and some coal and better food? The little fellow thought for a while, and then with big tears starting in his eyes, he said, I guess he does tell somebody, but somebody forgets. Without knowing that this boy touched the sore point in the church's history, I wonder if the sore point is with you and me. I know that there is a number of you that are now involved in outreach in the local community here, and I'm really praising God for that, because God has put you in this place so that you would reach your neighbors around you. And so look at the fields. Open your eyes and look at the fields. And they're here in Edmonton. When, you know, Wajdi and a couple of others that are involved with Muslim work here in Edmonton, you know, at Missions Fest, I heard in February that the Muslims had put a flyer from one of the mosques about all the good things about Islam and why people in Edmonton should follow Islam. Every one of these people in Edmonton, the whole city got it. And Wajdi, who's my friend from Sudan, who's a Muslim convert, says, this, we got to change the situation. The Christians got to put something in people's homes. And there's a testimony. I didn't bring extra books because I gave them all out by this guy from Iraq who writes his testimony about how he was converted from Islam. And we want to give that to the 40,000 families in Edmonton that are Muslim or Arabic speaking. That's the vision he had. And Wajdi is a Muslim convert, and he has a passion for reaching people from his own background. Look at the fields. The second point is continuing in prayer. The rest of the chapter deals with prayer. That's the second step. And the first thing we did when God put this international student in my heart is organize a prayer meeting once a month where 10 or 15 people would gather together every week or every month to pray for international students. So prayer is the secret. Prayer, it was a fervent prayer, verse 4. It was a focused prayer, focused on God himself and God's power and greatness, but also on the failure of God's people. It was a prayer of confessing of sins. And it was a faith prayer. In verse 11, after he prayed this prayer, he knew that God was leading him to do something. Through this, he gained a divine perspective. Too often we had look at a human perspective. You know what most of the Jews would have said? Boy, those poor people, they have a lot of problems in Jerusalem. Glad we didn't move there. Glad we didn't live in High River. Glad we didn't live in Calgary, at least close to the Bow River. We're here in Edmonton. But you know, that's not the response of God's people. God's people will pray. The beginning of Operation Mobilization, when I joined this mission, George Verver always said, the director, it was founded by prayer. Founded by a woman who prayed for a high school for 18 years. And the school got worse and worse. And then she lashed her eyes on a guy that seemed to be the worst guy of all. 14 years old, George Verver. He was selling pornography to his classmates. He had 30 girlfriends. and he just liked parties. And he said, that guy seems to influence a lot of people in this high school. I'm going to pray for him and send him a Gospel of John. And she sent him a Gospel of John, and she lived across the street from that high school, and God just gave her that board. And he didn't know where that gospel came from, but he began to read it. And then when Billy Graham came around to Madison Square Garden, he thought, maybe my worst girlfriend needs some religion, so I'll take her there. And that night, he gave his life to Christ. But this woman had prayed 18 years for the high school, and he won about 200 people to Jesus Christ in that high school before he went to Bible school and to the mission field. So God uses prayer. And without prayer, Nehemiah, this book would not exist. This book and what Nehemiah did would not have happened. So prayer is the foundation. And so we need to continue in prayer. And that's the second step. The third step in finding God's direction is overcoming fear. Chapter 2, verse 2. Well, you know, how many of you have fears? Well, Nehemiah, what do you think happens next? He's going to we didn't read those verses, but he was going to give wine to the king. He had the fortunate opportunity to see the king almost every day and to taste the wine to make sure that it was not poisoned. So he would get poisoned first. And so he says he had not been sad in his presence before. And the king says, why does your face look so sad and you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid. I'd be afraid too. He probably thought, what I'm about to do, I could lose my life if the king doesn't respond in the right way. This could not be the end of my job. This could be the end of my life. And so he was sacrificing his life, asking for what he was going to ask. But he overcame fear because he says, I prayed. And suddenly through prayer, he overcame fear. Fear is mentioned at least 365 times in the Bible, once for every day of the year. And so you got, if you say you have no fears, I want you to sign my Bible. I have a page here for hypocrites only. So we all have fears. We all have fears. You know, I went to China to follow up on these students, but the first time I went to China, I had so many fears because I hear Chinese people eat everything. And I don't know what they're eating, and they don't know how to translate in English, and I don't know what I'm eating. And I thought, man, you know, this could be frogs or dogs or whatever. I don't know what I'm eating. But you know what? In Bible school, they taught me a song, where he leads me, I will follow. The second verse, the president said, what he feeds me, I will swallow. And so, you know, that was my prayer as I helped to overcome fear of the fears of food that I was eating in China. So overcoming fear. How many, you join the club. You have fears, but Satan will bring fear and paralyze you. Millions of Christians stop because of fear. I had fears of going to India, going to China, getting involved in the university campus. I never had been to university. I didn't even know how to run the computer. My son finally 2 years ago forced me into the computer thing by giving me an iPad for Christmas. Now I have an iPhone. And some students say, boy, Bert is high tech. Bert's high tech. But that just happened 2 years ago. Man, I was afraid of the computer. I was afraid of going on university campuses. I had so many fears. I was afraid of raising my support and trusting the Lord for finances, going to Vancouver. How can I afford Vancouver? It's the most expensive city in Canada. My house is in Kamloops. How can I afford that? But if God is in it, he'll do it. And so he gave us a house for $350 a month rent in Vancouver. And that's how we started this ministry. You think that's a miracle? Of course it's a miracle. Students come over, they're paying $500 for a small room, and they wonder how God did that. Well, overcome fear. The fourth point is grasping opportunities. You continue that chapter of chapter 2 in Nehemiah. I've lost my track, my page, but I know Nehemiah says, okay, king, I see an opportunity here. You said, what do I want? I want $1 million. No, he's not asking for $1 million. He says, I want to do something. I want to build those walls. The gates are ruined. The bird, where my father lies in ruins, and his gates have been destroyed for fire. The king said, what do you want? I pray to the God of heaven. Please, the king, let him send me to the city in Judah. I'm asking for a break. I'm asking for leave from my job. I'm asking to go there and do something about it. I'm not asking to send my grandmother. I'm not asking to send my sister. I'm asking to send me. Isn't that what God wants us to do? God wants to send us. He wants to use us. Guy, 68 years old, still being used to reach international students for Christ by his grace. I love these students. Yes, I don't know anything about business. I don't know anything about computer science, but I can teach them how to ski. Of course, oh, you can't ski in Edmonton. I forgot that. Lani told me there is a ski hill, however. So she's been skiing last year. So you can do lots of things for international students, and they love food. Food is the heart of this ministry. They love food. And so these dear, wonderful people in my church, they're just cooking food. They don't know. They said, we can cook. And so they're cooking for 60 people. And I pick it up and I tell them, these people, they don't even know you, but they love you and they pray for you and they're providing this meal tonight. And so it's wonderful. Grasping opportunities. Let the King send me. God sent me to work with international students 12 years ago. Praise him. Years ago, I heard India was open to the gospel. And the Lord sent me to India, and he did. Now God sent me to Vancouver. Will he send you to the neighbor next door, the one you haven't met yet, with one of these videos or DVDs or something else with some cookies and welcome them to your neighborhood? The last point I want to share this morning is asking in faith. The king said, great, you can go. I'll probably find somebody else that will get poisoned and can serve the wine. There's lots of people applying for this job. There's lots of benefits involved. And so you can go for a while. You've got my period. Oh, king, just hang on. I got a job to do. Not only build it, but I need some protection to get there. And I need some lumber so I can get those walls built. And I want it free. No invoice, please. And the king said, you've got it. And so the king, the heathen king, he was asking in faith. The heathen king, that God would move his heart so that this man would give him the resources he needed, the provisions he needed. And that's how we're going to get the job done. We do need finances. We do need prayer. We do need resources. We do need partnerships like the Bible Society, printing all these free Bibles to us and the free videos that we get from Power to Change for these international students. I remember four Japanese girls being in our home. We're saying goodbye to them. And we had one of these videos in Japanese. And I said, before you go back to Japan, and before you have the wonderful dinner that my wife has cooked, we're going to watch this video for 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. If you don't like it, you don't have to have it. If you like it, you can take it home with you to Japan. And the girls watched it for 5 minutes, and I shut it off, and they said, no, we want to watch the whole thing. We want to watch the whole thing. So at the end of the movie, 1 hour movie of the Jesus story for children, one girl said, I want to take it to Japan. I want to show it in my history class. Ah, there we're getting God's word going forth into other countries through these tools. So that's what God wants to do. He wants us to ask for those resources that we need. Pray this week that God will use us as we pray together for God's will to be done with international students. Pray for our new president as he takes over. Pray for us that we would need more workers. We're only working on 5 campuses in Vancouver. We want to go to 10 before I retire. And I do want to retire before I'm 90. So God, but we need workers. I will not start a ministry on a campus unless God gives us the people that are there. But they're, you know, we need the right people that have God's love in their hearts. We need more churches to partner with us. And you can have a ministry also in right here in Edmonton. You can just connect with Lani after the service, and she'll tell you how you can get involved. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that Nehemiah found God's direction. He took these steps, questions. He prayed to the God of heaven, to God would move his heart, that this shame that had befallen his people would not last another day or another week. He was concerned that God's honor would be restored. He was concerned that God's kingdom would advance. And this morning we sang these songs about God's kingdom, about every nation, but we have every nation around us. And God has sent these people to us. He has sent the mission field here. And so we can overcome fear, and we can ask in faith that God would use us. Plant seeds, just plant seeds of God's love by inviting people for food and just doing whatever we can to help our neighbors find Jesus. Thank you for this assembly. Bless us as we have fellowship together, as we look at these resources that have come our way, and use them for his kingdom and for his glory. In Jesus' name, amen.